Let's all stand together and we'll say our memory verse. 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're learning verse 18 this month. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Let's say that together, please. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. Let's say that again, please. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. One more time, please. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And that is so true. We have power through Christ, and through God, and through the blood, and through the cross. Praise the Lord for that. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity and privilege we have to stand before you this morning to open the Word of God. And I pray this morning, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, that you would use me this morning, dear Lord, as an instrument in your hands, that we might understand some truth from the Word of God this morning, knowing that we can apply something to our hearts and lives to be better Christians for it. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you all that you're going to do for us this day. Help us to be attentive, Lord, to the Sunday school hour, to the preaching service, dear Lord, and allow whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts about, allow us to take action on it. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask this. Amen. You may be seated. With just a few weeks left in this quarter Sunday school lesson, Greek words every Christian should know, we have really come a long ways in these last few weeks. We have seen what the words of the original New Testament, some of those words mean. As we have learned, the New Testament was written in the common Greek or the Koine Greek. And as the Holy Spirit spoke to the men that wrote the New Testament, they penned down the words of God. And how the Greek language is so expressive and how it means so much more than just one word in English can do it justice sometimes. So sometimes it's profitable to go back and look at some of those words and what exactly they meant in the New Testament in the original language. So as we've taken these steps these last few weeks and months, these words have helped build our Christian life, I hope, and strengthen our faith. And as we begun and understood Christ hanging on the cross and His sixth saying on the cross, where He says, "Tetelestai," or "it is finished," it meant so much more than He wasn't finished. The soldiers didn't kill Christ. He gave up the ghost. And He said, "The work is finished. The will of God is finished. The plan of salvation is finished. Anything and everything that is needed for the salvation of mankind has been completed, has been paid in full." That's where the words in English, "it is finished," means in the Greek, "tetelestai," it's been paid in full. And then as we moved into the word sozo, and to be redeemed, to be made whole, and baptizo, and to show how the mode of baptism and why we baptize by immersion, you go under the water, and why that is so important. And then as we looked at the unusual word of peripateo, and to walk with God, and to oxano, or to grow with God. And then 2 weeks ago, we learned about enduo, and to put on God, and to put on Christ, and to put on the armor of light, and how we are not to serve God in our own strength and our own energy, but we are to put on Christ daily and serve God through the power of God and through the energy of God, through the energy of Christ. And then last week, we looked at a very unusual word called spaduzo, where we were to be diligent, hastening to do the work of God. For we, as Christian body, know what is coming. We know the rapture of the church is imminent. It could come at any moment. It could come before I speak another word. Nothing is being have to be done before Christ can return back for the church, except for the Father to tell His Son to go get His bride. It could happen at any moment. So as Christians, as we know these things, we should be hastening to do the work of God. And as we come to this week's word, I have said this word over and over and over. It looks like Greg Oreo, but that's not what it is. And it is a tough word to say. And God knows this word, but it's Gregorio, Gregorio. And I'm not saying it exactly right, but the Lord knows. And it's only mentioned 24 times in the Bible, in the New Testament. And it means to watch, to be vigilant, to give strict attention to be alert. As we know Christ could come at any moment, we are to be watching for Him. We are to be vigilant for Him and His return. We are to be giving strict attention to the things Christ told us to do on this earth because He could come at any moment. We are to be alert for His coming. Most of the New Testament uses of this reference to the Christians being spiritually awake. Alert as opposed to be spiritually indifferent and listless. Boy, how our churches this day, as a group of churches around the world today, how we've become so indifferent. How we've become so listless, so lethargic. Why aren't the pews filled? Wednesday night when we were here, why weren't the pews filled? Sunday morning as we open the doors at 11 o'clock and have service here, why won't the pews be filled? Our churches and our believers and the Christian body has become complacent, indifferent, lethargic. I'm saved, that's enough. What if Christ came and you weren't here and you should have been here? And it wasn't for some unfortunate circumstance, you just chose not to be in the house of God that morning or that evening or that day. And Christ came at that moment. Were you being watchful? Were you being alert? Were you being vigilant? No. And that is our churches today. Gregorio conveys the idea of alertness. It is like a sleeping man being aroused. It means to give strict attention to be active, to take heed through carelessness and lack, to take heed lest through carelessness and laziness some destructive calamity overtake you. In the secular Greek, in the common Greek of everyday Greek life in the New Testament, this word has a very descriptive meaning. It means when people cross a river while stepping on slippery stones, if they did not pay strict attention to their steps, they would end up in the water. They were to be vigilant, alert, watching their steps. That is what this word means. And as we walk through this life this day, as we are trying to serve Christ this day, are we not walking a slippery slope? Do we not have to be careful of every step we take so that we don't go to the left or to the right? We are to be alert. We are to be watchful. We are to be vigilant, giving strict attention to what we do and where we go and how we make our walk on this earth. Gregorio is used of mental alertness, the condition of the mind opposite of sleep. So anything you think of sleep, if you sleep well at night, it is the opposite of that. It is being alert, watching, waiting, anticipating, giving attention to. So as we look at this word, we're going to begin in 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to show you, time permitting, we're going to show you six things every believer needs to be alert for. Six things every believer needs to be alert for. It begins in 1 Peter chapter 5. A very familiar portion of Scripture here in verse 8, the Word of God says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The word vigilant is Gregorio. To be vigilant is to be watchful, to be alert, to be giving strict attention to. As Peter exhorts us in this passage, be sober, be vigilant. He is saying, be aware of Satan's strategies, which are always deceptive. He is the father of lies. We know that. And he is going to try to deceive us. Even in our Christian walk, he is going to try to deceive us. So to be vigilant towards knowing what Satan's strategies are, he's trying to deceive us. He's trying to be subtle about it. He's not going to blatantly come to you and say, go and rob this bank. It's going to start with a small step of taking paper clips from a business. You know they're not yours. But anyway, you put them in your pocket. You know, who's going to miss a box of 1,000 or 100 or whatever paper clips come in? And you take that box home and use them for your personal use. And then it sort of moves into pens and copier paper or whatever. You don't just go out and rob a bank. It starts at a slow step, a subtle, deceptive move by Satan to tempt you. And you take that step and it gradually builds and builds and builds. Just like you're not here, if you're not here this morning, it didn't start with completely out of church and I'm never going to go into the church building again. It started with, well, Sunday school this week, I think I'd rather go to the beach. I think I'd rather take my children to amusement park. And it slowly builds until you're finally to the place where you don't even attend church anymore. Be watchful. Be alert. Satan is deceptive and subtle. He is going to try to deceive you. We can basically classify the attacks of Satan three ways. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He is going to attack us one of those ways, or all of those ways, any given day. It could be all three, any given hour. It could be all three, or it could be just one. He knows your weaknesses. He knows how he can attack you. Be watchful. Be alert. Watch for the attacks of Satan. Peter knew all too well about the attacks of Satan. Remember in the Scriptures, the disciples are arguing, who's going to be the greatest? And Christ told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan wanted Peter. He knew the kind of man Peter was going to be for Christ and how he was going to serve Christ. On the day of Pentecost, he was going to preach and 3,000 souls were going to be saved. He knew what a great apostle and servant of God he was going to be, and Satan wanted to attack him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, James, and John were pulled aside as they had been two other times from the other apostles. And they come with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane after the Lord's Supper. And Christ leaves them here. Let's turn to Matthew. I'll show you that. Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40, the Word of God says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. He's gone to the garden. He's gone to pray. He's getting ready to be arrested and the trial to begin, one of the longest nights. And as he leaves the remainder of the apostles and he takes Peter, James, and John up a little further into the garden, he says, wait here. Watch and pray. It says in verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? He specifically pulls out Peter here. And he says, Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? The word watch is gregorial. And again, in verse 41, he says, watch and pray, that ye enter not into what? Temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's saying, watch and pray, Gregorio. Be alert, be attentive. Give strict attention to what I'm saying. Even in the courtyard, as Christ has been arrested, he's facing these mock trials. He's going before the leaders of the Jewish religion. And he's facing them, and Peter's in the courtyard down below, and he denies Christ three times, and even one he goes back to his fisherman days, cursing and saying things that he knew he should not be saying to try to distance himself from Christ. He's not being watchful. He's not being alert. In the book of Job, we can understand in the first chapter that Satan goes before God and accuses the brethren. He doesn't have to go before God and lie about the brethren. He can go before God and tell the truth to God and say, look at Brian Money. He is nothing. Look how he failed you today. He doesn't have to make this stuff up. We fail him every moment of every day. And Satan can go before God, and as an accuser of the brethren, he goes before God and he says, look at your servants. Look with me in Revelation. Let me show you that. He is called the accuser. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan accuses us before God and says, they're nothing. They can't serve you faithfully. They can't go to church faithfully. They can't read their Bibles faithfully. They can't pray faithfully. He doesn't have to make this stuff up. He's telling the truth about us. But we have an advocate. 1 John chapter 2 tells us we have an advocate. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that advocate? Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's a legal term. He is our advocate, our legal representative at the throne of God. He says, don't listen to him, God. Don't listen to Satan. I've paid for their sins. I've taken care of that sin. And one day we are going to be perfect. It's not going to be on this world. Not before the return of Christ. But when we get to heaven, we'll have that glorified body. We'll be able to serve Christ faithfully. We'll be able to serve Him justly. We'll be able to be holy before Him only because we have an advocate with the Father. We are to be vigilant. Watch for the attacks of Satan. As believers, we should be watching and alert for the attacks of Satan. Then we should be watching for temptations in Mark chapter 14, very similar to the first, but a little different. Mark chapter 14, again, we go back to the gospel records here, the plot to put Christ to death. Jesus is anointed by Mary. Judas is plotting to betray Christ. And we come to Mark 14, 32. Again, we're in the garden. The last Passover feast has occurred with the Lord's Supper. They're in the garden, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And He said to His disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. So He says to the remainder of the group, He says, sit here ye and pray. And He takes Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and be very heavy. And He said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Our Savior said that. He was 100% man. He was 100% human without sin. But at the same time, He was 100% God. He felt what we felt. He knew what was getting ready to be placed on Him. the sins of the world were getting ready to be placed on the sinless one. And he says he was exceedingly sorrowful, which means he was completely surrounded with grief. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. Now, if I had been there, I pray I had been awake. I pray I would be awake and alert and watchful and praying for Christ, knowing that he was in this state of being, that he was surrounded with grief. But it had been a long day, a tiring day. They'd had a good meal. Christ had spoken to them again, and now they've taken a walk, and it's late at night. I would have fallen asleep too. And here are these men. He says, tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that it were there possible the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, and nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them asleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Gregorio, could you not be alert 1 hour? Could you not give strict attention to what I say and do for 1 hour? And he says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Christ and his disciples are here in this garden. He is sore, complexed, and exceedingly sorrowful, surrounded by grief. And he's asking for these three primary disciples to be alert, to pray with him, to be vigilant. But they fell into sleep, the temptation of sleep. Christ returns from praying and finds his three closest companions on this earth asleep. A second time Christ comes and tells the three to watch and pray. He finds them sleeping again. If we are not watching and seeking the Lord's help through prayer, we will often not notice when we fall into temptation. When it comes. When our spiritual eyes are shut, we can more easily fall into sin. We must be alert for the temptations that surround us. I don't have to tell you the sins that beset you. You know those sins. You know those temptations that come to you every day. I know the temptations that come to me every day. We must be alert to those temptations. And when they come, we must prayerfully go before God and say, help me. Give me your strength to go overcome this temptation. Allow me to put on the strength and our energy and the armor of God so I can fight these temptations. We must be alert. Rapidly, we move to Revelation chapter 3. I've got to get through the last three here for you. Revelation chapter 3, we see the next item that we should be alert and watchful as Christians. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, a letter to the church of Sardis. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful. Be Gregorio, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hast and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, Gregorio, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. We as Christians, we as believers must be alert. We must be watchful. We must give a strict attention to not become apathetic and indifferent. because it will take us over. How many people, don't raise your hands, but how many people know believers, like believers, that served God faithfully and now today are nowhere in a church? I can tell you pastors like that today that served God faithfully and loved God and now they're not even in church. What happened? They became indifferent. They became apathetic. The very nature of apathy and the very nature of indifference makes them very difficult to notice. But by definition, a person who is apathetic and indifferent is insensitive and therefore cannot be alert. When's the last time we had someone walk the aisle for salvation? Was it because of our failures to bring them? Was it because of our failures to not witness to them? Now, I know it's the job of the Holy Spirit to convict hearts, but we got to get them here. We must bring them in. The song, Bringing in the Sheaves, talking about bringing those converts, bringing those lost into the fold that we might have them under the sound of the gospel. We've become insensitive. As a church body, we've become indifferent. Well, I'm saved. My family's saved. That's enough. No, it's not. God is holding back Christ. Christ is ready to come get the bride. And God is holding him back because he's extending his mercy and his grace to the world. It is our job to go out to the world and bring them in. But we're not doing that as a church body. Not fellowship only. Church body of Christ. We are not doing that. We are not seeing the soul saved today because our world has become indifferent, because our world has become apathetic, because our world has become full of sin, but God still has the same saving power. If we went to them and like we used to go to them and present the gospel to them and open the Word of God and allow the power of God through the Scriptures speak to their hearts, He still saves the same way. He still has the same power. He can save the numbers like He used to save the numbers. Our job, though, is to go tell. Our job is to go and do and to bring. But we're not doing that anymore. Not on the scale that we used to. I know I'm not. We've become so busy. Our churches are full of activities. We are so busy for God. Activity does not overrule and outweigh obedience to God. He still expects us to serve Him. He still expects us to be watchful and alert and to bring in the lost. In Revelation chapter 3, the majority of the church of Sardis had become complacent. They had become indifferent. The message here to them is to wake up. Gregorio, be alert and strengthen the things that remain. A preacher is said to neglect the teaching of Scripture. You say, oh, we don't do that. To neglect the teaching of the Scriptures. When's the last time a pastor preached on a message? The Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and you did nothing with it. I'm not going forward. We're not looking for numbers at the altar, but we're looking for growth of the Christian body. And if the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart about something through the preaching of the Word of God, He wants you to act on it. To neglect the teaching of Scripture is to disregard it and to treat it as if it means nothing. Before long, we cannot remember what we have been taught, and we come indifferent towards the things of God. I pray that's never, never, I pray that is never the testimony of Fellowship Baptist Church. Let us never become indifferent to the Scriptures and to the right Scriptures. Allow us never to become indifferent to the teaching of the Scriptures. and allow us never to become indifferent or insensitive or apathetic to the conviction work of the Holy Spirit of God. If we need to continue a invitation service for 20 minutes, let us continue the service. Lunch will wait. None of us will starve to death, I promise you. I got enough on me to last a few days, easy. Remember the days you used to sit in a church service and the invitation was longer than the service? I remember those days. They weren't too long ago. The buffet lines weren't important. And when a soul came to Christ and was led to Christ, how the church body rejoiced. And what do we do today? Let's go get in the lunch line. Let's go get home. We've become indifferent. I'm not talking to y'all, I'm talking to me. We've become indifferent. We become insensitive to the things of God because we are not Gregorio. We are not being alert. We are not watching. We are not anticipating. We are not giving strict attention to the things of God. How is Christ going to come back for His church and find us? I pray it's not indifferent. We must give strict attention and beware and be alert of false teachers. In Acts chapter 20, this is during the first century church. This is spoken and written. The first century church, Christ has just returned to heaven. He has just returned to heaven, not many days hence. And here it says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 25, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." That take heed, Gregorio. Be vigilant, be alert. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise." Did you notice that? "Also of your own selves." This is in the church. This is a church body. "And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things." Lord, please let that never be said of me. Allow me never to rise pridefully and say perverse things in the church. To draw away disciples after them, I want never to be that person. How can I do that? Through the strength and power of God only. Because in my flesh, I would do it. "Therefore, watch, Gregorio, and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you everyone night and day with tears." We must be alert for the false teachers. They're all around us. Pastor told us just a Wednesday night or two ago, there was six Christ, people claiming to be Jesus Christ in the world today. Hogwash. If Christ had returned, I would have known it. If Christ had returned, we would have been in heaven because He's not come to set up His kingdom yet. His first return is to get the church body in the air. We're going to meet Him in the air and we're going to go back with Him. Jesus Christ is not on this earth today, but those men are false prophets, false teachers. They are perverse people telling false things about God. And not only those six men, but across our nation, across our world in pulpits, just as ours today, in independent, fundamental Baptist churches today, people do not believe the Scriptures. We are putting out men and women, or men, basically, we are putting men out of our seminaries that go and stand in pulpits that don't believe the infallibility of the Word of God. They don't believe this is the Word of God. It contains the Word of God. Well, you show me which part it contains. The whole thing is God's Word. They don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Well, how can Jesus Christ be our Savior then? He was a sinful man if he was not born of a virgin. And my Bible still says virgin. It doesn't say a young maiden. Boy, I could stop there for a while. In view of the certainty of the attacks of the church from within Paul, he instructed these Ephesian elders to be alert. Be watchful. And this is in the first century. Here we are, is this the 21st century? How many more do we have today? They're everywhere. They're on the radio. They're on the TV. They're in our churches. We must be cautious. We must be alert. We must be vigilant to see them, find them, and say, you're wrong. This is the truth. We must be careful and alert for a lethargic prayer life. Every one of these we could teach a lesson on. Every one of these we could preach a message on. We must be alert and watchful of lethargic prayer life. Colossians 4, 1 through 6. I just don't have time. Colossians 4, 1 through 6. Paul exhorts the saints to continue in prayer. Make this your lifestyle, is what he was saying. And keep alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. We are to guard against by keeping alert for anything entering our prayer life that would weaken our effectiveness. Sin, unbelief, lack of faith. You pray, but you don't believe it's going to happen. That's indifference. That's apathetic. You're lethargic in your prayer life. What about the vain repetitions? I know we can repeat things, and the Holy Spirit even says He understands grumblings and babblings. And we just don't know the words to say. But watch for those vain repetition prayers. That's not a strong prayer life when you say the same prayer over and over and over again. Our prayer should be many things, and how we could teach a series of lessons on just prayer and what it's supposed to contain. It's not me, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. It's thanksgiving, it's praying for others, supplication. Pray believing. And then we are to be anticipating and alert and being watchful, Gregorio, for the Lord's return. And Mark 13, it talks about the Lord's return. No one knows the day, no one knows the time of Christ's return except the Father. In verse 33 of Mark 13, he says, take ye heed and watch and pray. We are to be alert, vigilant, because the rapture of the church is imminent. We should start every day with this thought. Perhaps today. Perhaps today. We should, before we go to bed at night, before we go and lay our head and fall into sleep, we should say, perhaps tonight. Perhaps tonight. Because we don't know. We don't know when Christ is going to return. As we are alert, we should be moved to prayerfulness for those lost loved ones, for those lost neighbors and friends and co-workers, because they're going to have to go through the tribulation period if they don't get saved. And we know what that's going to be. Are we watchful? Are we alert? Are we giving strict attention and being vigilant to the things of God? Or have we become just an indifferent, insensitive, apathetic, listless Christian? Not even looking for the return of Christ, but planning that next 5-year plan of our life. We are to keep awake. We are to keep alert. Why? Because He is coming. Because He is coming soon. Because He is coming soon to take us home. And because He is coming soon to take us home to be with Him forever. We must be alert. We must be vigilant. We must be watchful. There is no time to slack or to be slothful. When He comes, let Him find us faithful and serving others. Lord, we thank You so much for this lesson. How You spoke into my own heart, and how, Lord, so much could be said about each of these points. We know how our world is today. We know how we are today. I pray that you would help us. As the Holy Spirit directs us and leads us, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be not indifferent, not to be insensitive, not to be listless, not to be lethargic, but to be watchful and alert, not only for your coming, but for the attacks of Satan, for a lethargic prayer life, for not becoming apathetic or indifferent, Lord. Help us, Lord, to serve you faithfully, always, constantly watchful, vigilant, Gregorio. For these things we pray and ask.